Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We're going to talk about the faithfulness of the presence of God, which fits in with what we've just experienced. And so we're going to go into Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, and then to chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. We're going to read a bit of scripture here. And I believe that God is not only going to manifest his presence here, but he's going to do something very special in all of our lives. And so as we read the word of God, we're just asking God to just really touch us in a very special way. It starts out reading like this. And it came to pass that when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark, but the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets." Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let seven priests bear the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord." So it was that when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall shout or make, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout." Verse 11 together. So when he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once, they came to the camp and lodged in the camp. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, today, Lord, I can say this prophetically. There are those of us who have marched around walls in our lives, and we wonder, is this a day they're going to come down? And God, I believe today prophetically, some of us are beginning to march. Some of us are trying to even figure out, is God for us or is God against us? But today, Lord, you're going to answer some questions. And Lord, the power of your Holy Spirit is going to pave the way for supernatural things to happen in our lives. And so, Lord, I thank you, God, for your presence. I thank you for what we've experienced. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Lord, the atmosphere of your presence has not departed. And I pray today, as the word of God comes forth with power and with anointing, that chains are broken off of people's lives, that people will be resurrected to a place of where they've never been before. That, Lord, that the stink of death that's been over people's life, they would breathe again. I pray, God, by the power of the Spirit, those who have been bound in the things of the world, Lord, that they'd be free today to be all that you desire for them to be. Holy Spirit, do your work today, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all these things in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
amen.
Turn to somebody and say, it's going to get good in here. Go ahead and be seated. One of the questions I raised last week, and I want to raise it again because I believe God's going to speak to us. We did not fully discuss last week was are you willing to remain in the Lord, on the Lord's side, without doubting whether he is on yours? Because that's how the enemy works. He'll cause you to doubt. Do not doubt in the darkness what God has shown you in the light. Do you hear what I said? See, sometimes the clouds would come over our head and we'd forget about what God told us. But I'm about to rebuke some darkness off you folks so you can see what God's up to. Because I believe he's got some great things in store. I believe it is safe to say that all of our expectations have expiration dates. Because if it doesn't happen by this time, it's not going to happen. I'll raise your hand for you. You've said that before. Well, if it doesn't happen this time, I guess it's just not going to happen. This is not God's will. God is not tuned into your time clock. He doesn't have to be, and thank God he isn't. Because when you think it's too late, God's only begun the process. We're not going to take the walls down necessarily this week, but we're going to prepare you for what God's about to break through. Well, here's the three things that we'll talk about. First of all, are you presently facing a situation in which you are unresolved as to whether or not you should move forward? Just about everybody in here is in that place. And we'll go to that place again and again and again. Because you say, should I go forward or should I not? Should I take this job or not? Should I buy this car or not? Should I buy this house or not? Should I get involved? We go on and on and on and on. And the controversy that helps happens in our spirit. And there's a reason why I'm going to this particular place, because it's very, very, it's in the scripture here where the decision had to be made, where Joshua is before, and he doesn't really recognize at that point. He says, are you for me or against me? Hang on, we'll go through the other two and we'll just take that apart. To get the right answer, you must ask the right question. And sometimes we've asked God questions that aren't even relevant, because he's already told you the answer before you asked it. Now you'll see that in the scripture. And the third thing I'd mention, I'm not giving you just questions today, the third thing is our security in the Lord is founded on our response to worship in his presence. You say, how does that tie together? By the time we're finished today, I think you'll understand where we're going. Well, the side God is on, Romans 8:31 will tell you that. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
If God is for us, who can be against us? That is a challenge to anything that you may be facing right now that would cause you to question whether or not God's going to come through, God is for you, and all those particular things. Unpacking it looks a little bit like this. Before we can enter into what the Lord has prepared for us, we will see a shift in responsibility. In chapter 5, verses 11 and 12 says this. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very day. The manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. The reason why I pulled this scripture out is something important for us to remember. God sometimes will shift the way he has been dealing with us. And up until that particular point, groceries were delivered every day to the camp of Israel. Didn't have to worry. Manna came from them, and they gathered as much as they needed and this type of thing. And then on the before the Sabbath, they gathered enough for 2 days, and if you kept it overtime, it would spoil. They were used to everyday provision. But then the Bible says here, then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten of the produce of the land. In other words, they partook of the land, part of the land that they were going to inherit. And once you've partaken of that, there comes a point of responsibility where you have to take responsibility for yourself. God is not going to spoon feed you anymore. See, we have some spoon-fed Christians. All say, "Oh, God doesn't care for you." You know, they don't want to pray. They want to see, you know, the preacher spoon-feed them. Their group leader to spoon-feed them. This type of thing. They must not love me anymore. And we just fall apart because there's a reason for that. It's called lazy. The responsibility now is that you've been to this particular place. God says, we're going to shift this whole thing. It's going to be different than it's always been before. And it's called maturity in the body of Christ. But going a little bit further, we must be aware of the shift that often takes place before we are about to enter into a new season of discovery of God's faithfulness. There's a shift taking place. God hasn't abandoned you. It's now time for you to step up and do some of the things that you should have been doing for a while. His people no longer having food, their manna delivered to them every day, they began to eat the fruit of the land of their inheritance. And what God is doing, he's kind of putting the appetizer out there. Ever had an appetizer before? Don't be looking at me funny. Yes, you did. And you ordered another one. Could you bring another appetizer? All this is a setup for what you're about to experience. We must learn to ask the right questions without questioning God. And in 5:13, this is interesting. It says, and it came to pass, and you'll see it up on the screen there. It says, and it came to pass that when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua said to him, are you for us or for our adversary? Now, this is the most interesting question because he must have had memory loss. All of us have had that. Because earlier on here, the Bible says here that God had said to him, Joshua, at the very beginning of this book, he says, only be strong, and this is in chapter 1. He says, be strong and be very much of good choice, and you may observe and be according to things. Do not turn to the right, to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. In other words, and then verse 5, he says in chapter 1, he says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And then he sees this representative of God standing before, he says, are you for me or against me? I know that there are times in my life I've said it, and if you're honest, you'll say it too. You got to the place where you're about to enter into something and they say, well, I didn't even know that God's really on my side. You forget about what he told you. I want to unpack that to this degree, that Joshua did not recognize, and here's the deal. He did not recognize the presence of the Lord. You can be here in church and say, you know, everyone's experienced the presence of the Lord is here this time. I don't know what they're talking about. I didn't really recognize that. I was just so, we get so locked up into things we're going through that we'll miss Jesus. We'll miss his presence. And so that being the case, he wanted to believe that it was the presence of God. His question revealed his doubts regarding the presence of the Lord in his life. He says, any of you look at that answer? He says, are you for us? Are you for our enemy? And what was the response? He says, no. Now, how does that answer the question? Now, some Bibles went to the Greek to help you with that. It says, and they put, instead of no, they put neither. It still don't help. Because it puts you in this quandary where you say, well, if I could get a yes or no, that'd be great. But the no that's in the Bible doesn't really answer the question, are you for us or for? I need a little bit more definition. And I believe that God's going to define some things for all of us in the next few moments. The question revealed his doubts regarding the presence of the Lord. Asking the right question will yield the fruit of our future. We must live in the conviction that will allow us to recognize God in whatever way he shows himself. Amen. Ever thought something was and discovered it wasn't what you thought it was? Tastes just like chicken. Tastes just like chicken. Tastes like rubber. But they'll say, oh, it's just like chicken. I have never met a frog leg on this planet that tastes just like chicken. Oh, honey, don't worry about it. It tastes just like chicken. It's just a little bit gummier, but it's just like chicken. That ain't just like chicken. You can lie to yourself all day long. It is something strange that just entered your palate. But they're trying to buff it up a little bit to make you feel better. There's no parallel here. And here's what I want to tell you. The question that's being asked here is there's no way to split it out to make it think any differently. He says, I need to know, and this is Joshua, and he's being honest. And I want to help you and help myself at the same time. When we ask for signs or clues, we are often wrestling with ourselves being in circumstances of personal responsibility. He says, and I'm not going to throw Joshua under the bus necessarily, but he's at a crucial point. I believe there are people sitting in this room right now that are at a very crucial point in their life. Maybe it's a turning point in your, you know, a very important decision you're about to make. Should I get involved in this job? Should I get involved in this relationship? Should I do whatever it happens to be? And you really honestly and truly want to know. And so I'm not going to put you down for that. But I believe that God gives us some divine indicators that what we're going to need in the next place in our life, we're going to need someone of strength, we're going to need someone of authority, and we're going to have someone with a presence that will take our attention, that we can focus on them and really be able to ask the question. This imposing figure that's before Joshua meets all of the expectations of what you're going to need. The sword that's in his hand is a representative of the word of God. The stature is that which would take the presence where you all of a sudden are focusing on him. And the idea of being able to say that you would actually be drawn to him to ask that question tells you that there is a presence before you that if you submit yourself to it, things are going to happen that you need to have happen in your life. What does that mean? The man that confronted Joshua was God's presence. How could God's presence not be for you? Let's look at that. One of the points of revelation of the Lord is drawn in the man's hand. And when we are about to enter into warfare, the Lord will give us a vision of what he's about to do for us. I remember a song we used to sing when we were kids. God never sent a soldier to battle alone. I don't remember the rest of the words, but that's enough. But he never is going to send you out there to battle alone. The Lord will fight for you. And this is a fulfillment of what God's promise happened to be. Well, that being the case, it gets a little bit further. Our doubts concerning our future will be removed once we allow our fear to be turned into faith. And so he says, I just need to know. And here's the thing that's happening for many of you sitting here. Your decision not only affects you, it affects other people who are with you. Can I get an amen? Amen? Especially for men in this particular, who have a household they're taking care of, or people are looking to you for a type of encouragement, you're feeling responsibility not for your only for yourself, but other people that are following you. Well, here's the case that we can build here. We must learn to recognize the presence of Jesus in even when we are going through difficult times. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 19. This will help it in a particular sense. Now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to the village called Emmaus, which is 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. So it was that while they conversed and reason that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Let me stop right there for a moment. Now, this is after the resurrection. You say, why are you giving us this story after the resurrection? We haven't even got to resurrection day yet. Well, there's a reason for that. Please bear with me. Here it is, people who had followed Jesus, who were disciples of him, and they're walking down the road to Emmaus, and their focus is upon, you know, they're just walking there, and they're reminiscing over their past experiences, but there's one part of the conversation that is missing, and we'll get to that in just a moment. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then one of those, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things that have happened there in these days? In verse 19. And he said to them, what things? And so they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, the word before God and all the people. We can get caught up on events and miss Jesus. He can be right there with us, and we're so focused on what happened, we'll miss the very person who we're supposed to be with. He said, how could that possibly happen? And they said, well, there's a clue to that. He says, well, their eyes were not able to see. Yeah. On the physical sense, perhaps it was hidden, but there's a spiritual component that oftentimes will get dismissed because we're so focused upon the natural, we cannot get in tune with the Spirit. There's times that Jesus has been walking with you and you totally missed it. I'll be the first one to admit it. Because I'm looking for something other than the very presence of Jesus. I've already got an outfit in my mind, what it's going to look like, what it's going to feel like, what my experience is going to be, and I will miss the very totality of who Jesus is. Well, here's the thing that I want to suggest to you that will be helpful, is that we will miss the presence of Jesus when we get caught up in the things that have happened in our lives and forget about what he told us that we could expect to occur, that he told us to expect him to occur. The Bible says, in this life, you're going to have tribulations. And then when tribulation starts, oh God, what's going on in my life? He says, I told you this was going to happen. We fall apart, we dissolve into a puddle. We're just frustrated. We say things we shouldn't say. We say, you know, words that are not be a part of our vocabulary, things of that nature. Our spirit, we carry them. And so he says, in this life, you're going to have tribulations. He says, but it really happened. I don't want it to happen to me. Hello? The other thing I would tell you that gets this in our place, we're often caught up in the events of our lives that fail to see and remember what difficulties and problems that we must take the words of Jesus and apply them daily to our situation with faith and belief. Now consider this. We're going to go down to a few other verses. Jesus reveals himself to them at the table of discovery. Here's the difference here. Now it came to pass, this is after they've gone to a place, they sat down with Jesus. Came to pass at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished from their sight. Let me unpack that for you. There are oftentimes we as a body of people, we come to the table of the Lord. And I'll have to admit, there are times I come out of ritual. You know, body of the Lord, bread that represents, you know, bread represents his body, juice represents his blood. And of course, we forgive everybody and we go on with our lives. But there's something revelatory I want to express to you, is that God wants our eyes open to the daily life of fellowshipping with Jesus around his table. The Bible says, and it came to pass as they took the bread and they blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them, that their eyes were open and they knew him and he vanished from their sight. The vanished from their sight, just put that away for a moment, is that when we partake of Jesus, we should never lose sight of him in our lives. You know what takes that sight away from us? situations, problems, circumstances that we allow to cloud our vision, that we no longer see Jesus, we see the problem and not him. And I believe he's going to do something for us today. Well, the table reveals that they chose to spend time with him. That was a key factor that caused the revelation. Then when they invited the Lord into our story, we discover his presence. They said, Jesus, would you come stay with me a while? I believe that every day of our life that Jesus should be invited into to spend time with us. Jesus, come in. Fill my life. My life is so empty without you. But you know what? I oftentimes try to make it without him. I'm giving my confession. You can confess yours later, okay? In the presence of the Lord is our response to worship. Joshua chapter 5, verse 14. We're going to go to that right now. We're going back to the story here because here's the Lord kind of awakened me early this morning, and I think I have a revelation of what this means. So back to reading that particular scripture, we go to this. He says, now he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come. What does that mean to you? As a commander of the army of the Lord, I have come. It means I'm the actual representation of the presence of God in whatever you're facing right now. I have been dispatched to alleviate any fear or frustration you may be experiencing. As a commander of the Lord, I've come to you, and this is what he says here. Excuse me. Regardless of what you go through, we should be satisfied to have the presence of the Lord. Even if you say he doesn't do anything, just to be in his presence, that should be enough. Now, may I ask you a question? Are you better or worse since you've been in the presence of the Lord this morning? For the time the Spirit of the Lord was, that you were kind of reveling in his presence type of thing, and you're kind of just that particular place, something about all the things of this world were just totally in the background, and you're in the presence of God, and something about being in the presence of God, all the other stuff goes away. Can I get an amen? You're not worried about anything. You're just saying, oh, if we could stay here forever. Well, at some point, you will be able to stay here forever. I wanted to introduce that to you. He will use every situation to bring us closer to himself. And our assignment to respond to him in worship is this is what happens to Joshua. He responds. He says, are you there? And he says, neither is the right answer when we question the Lord's intention regarding our success. If you're here for the wrong reason, God already knows. Well, that wasn't very nice. Do you think that God can be kind of, you know, you can hide your motives for coming to church and he won't know about it? You can kind of slip under the radar and he's just, you know, he's going to bless you in spite of yourself. He said, well, I'm just going to go to church and maybe God will bless me in spite of the fact I haven't read the Bible, haven't, you know, done any things, but I'm going to get blessed. You know, God is not keeping a tally of that stuff. It's in the presence of the Lord is to change you into being the person that you really need to be for the sake of the kingdom of God. Amen. Do you know there's a lot of things I'd like to fix about that I didn't do exactly right last week, but you know what? God's grace is an amazing factor that allows me to come into the presence of God. He says, okay, Holy Spirit, just go down there, but skip Richard today. Skip him. Just skip over him. Everybody else is going to see the presence of God, but he ain't going to see him. Because that thought he had against that person is just not acceptable, and the Holy Spirit just bypass him. Anybody glad God don't work like that? When Saul was confronted on the road to Damascus, there was no doubt in his mind whose presence was around him. I want to get this account to you. Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 6. It's real quick, and I think it'll help us. As he journeyed, he came near to Damascus. Suddenly, the light shone from heaven. fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Then he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said to him, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. Then verse 6 says this. So he trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." I want to talk to you over here, and I'm going to talk to them in a minute. What it will take to have a true, honest conversion to Jesus. You say, "Wait a minute, I'm saved. I'm going to find out how saved you are." Saul was determined. He had his mind fixed on the idea that he was doing the right thing. Ever been there before? And then discover that, oh my goodness, I've totally missed it. But the amazing thing about that experience is that once this experience happened, folks, he falls to the ground. He says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Immediately, he knew it was God. God will not hide himself from you when it comes to a confrontation where you have an opportunity to have a relationship with him. Regardless of how right he thought he was, regardless of all of getting the Sanhedrin behind his back to do all this other type of stuff, when he came in contact with the Spirit of God, he knew what was going on. I'll tell you what, God will not allow a substitute to take his place. What you experienced a few moments ago was a genuine experience from God. And the only reason why you didn't experience it is if you close yourself off from having a real encounter with the Holy Spirit. That means there's only one thing that God requires of us when his presence comes along is for abandonment to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't know how right you think you were or think you are. If you surrender that, you'll have a real, honest, genuine relationship with Jesus. Now let's get to a couple other thoughts and we'll be done for the day. So, when you're in the presence of the Lord, you must adjust your posture. I think the Lord helped Saul a bit. A light came from heaven and he fell to the ground. Now some people say, it doesn't take all that. For some of you, it does. Some of you do need to do a little carpet time now and then. It wouldn't hurt you a bit. A little carpet, a little dust, wouldn't hurt. But we must examine our attention. We must submit to the presence of Jesus. But when we are in his presence, we must be willing to listen to his instruction. We must take off anything that will separate us from his holiness. Back to Joshua. He has this encounter with the angel, with the representative of God, with the presence of God. And he says to him, "Take off your shoes. Or your sandal, the place where you're standing is holy." I can give you a surefire way to miss God. Disobedience. Want to miss God? I'll tell you how to do it. Don't do what he's asked you to do. Now you say, why was it important for him to take his sandal off? Anything that gets between you and the holiness of God. He says, the ground is holy. He says, I want your flesh to have an encounter with my holiness, and something between your flesh and the ground which represents my holiness is there. You remove it. Now, here's the deal. Listen to me carefully. Several people in this room right now know the things that are keeping them from having a personal, direct encounter with God. And I want to tell you something. Before you walk out these doors this morning, if you remove that, you will have a genuine encounter with the Spirit of God. Now, here's the deal. The things that come between us and the holiness of God are things that we have put on. Forget about the sandal thing. I want you to go to a very practical thing in your heart right now that separates you from having an encounter with Jesus. And I could get to the obvious things, like drugs and, you know, bad things you're doing, this type of thing. That's too simple. I want to get you to the attitude that made you pick the substitute rather than a genuine encounter. Do you know that we live a lot of our life out of the fact of we just rehearse certain things, you know, that, well, it's worked before, so I'll do it again. I want to tell you a quick little story, kind of comes to mind. My dad was an alcoholic pretty much all of his life. And I was just sitting with my brothers and sisters the other day, and they remember that one day my dad decided to stop drinking. They thought that that happened. Let me tell you the little backstory behind it. Is he had been drinking White Heather Scotch. Anybody know about White Heather Scotch? That's about 100 proof. I mean, you might as well use it to, you know, I think real stuff is 160, 100 proof. My goodness, you could clean your floors with it. The stuff is pretty heavy. But he just dumped that stuff down. And one time I remember he drank so much of the stuff, he fell asleep on the hood of a car in the sun. Oh yeah, he was baked nicely. But one day he had done his particular thing, but he was a functioning alcoholic. He went downtown, he worked at the Union Station, and he had a locker down there. And so he had a key to get into his locker. And he went down there, and he tried for like 15 minutes to get the key in the locker. Well, he was so, you know, he couldn't get the key in the locker. He told himself this. This is what he told me. He said, I told myself I was a drunk. And I was tired of being a drunk. So he finally got the key to the locker, he opened the locker, this type of thing. And from that day until the day he died, he stopped drinking. He said, wait a minute. He didn't go through a treatment program or something of this nature. I'm going to tell you what helped him stop drinking. My mama praying for my daddy. Amen. They were married for 50 years, and 49 of them were the roughest years I know of her life. But she never gave up, and the power of the Holy Spirit, he didn't understand. He says, I just threw that key, and I didn't drink another, and got saved, and I'll meet him in heaven. This is how sometimes these things happen. I want to tell you, when the power of God comes upon you, where at that particular moment, all of a sudden, Jesus shows up, things that you could never do before, God's able to show up. God is able to break chains off of your life in the presence of God. The presence of God at a Union Station near a locker? Are you kidding me? God doesn't care where you are or what you're doing. He's able to do exceedingly above what you could ask, think, or even imagine. Well, but here's a part I can't leave out. Once we get into the posture of worship, we'll be open to divine instruction. We'll discover his will. We'll vow to obey his instruction. And we'll position ourselves correctly. And we will set ourselves up for victory. Now, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 6. And I'm just about done. Now, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its kings and the mighty men of valor. Wow. Do you believe that? They haven't marched around the wall one time. And God says, I've given it into your hand. I need to summarize a couple of things so I can set us up for success the next time I share with you. Our obedience will bring the walls of Jericho down in our life. I want to give you a couple of facts, and then I'm going to close this message. We must confront the problems that would discourage us from taking down the walls of Jericho. Now, here's a couple of facts you need to know. Jericho was the oldest city in the known world at that particular time. I want to tell you a couple other facts. The system of two massive stone walls that were 6 feet thick and 20 feet high. That's pretty incredible. But God's formula for taking those walls down was get the priests together, get the seven horns together, and then I want you to start marching around the walls. Does that make any sense? 6 feet thick, 20 feet high, and I want you just to walk around the walls. Here's something I think is going to be real important for some people right now that are facing some pretty devastating circumstances. It doesn't make any sense. Our logical mindset of the way we look at things, because you've tried various options and things to overcome afflictions or, shall I say, things in your life, and it hasn't happened. Very specifically, the Lord has told me this, just share this with me. There are three very specific people in this room right now that are facing an experience like Joshua was, in comparison to the fact that this situation looks so impossible that you're willing to say, you know, it's never going to happen. How is marching around walls that high? And actually, there was two graduations of wall. There was 6 feet of wall. There was a space in between another six feet of thick wall. And both of them are 20 feet high. This has been verified by archaeologists that this was absolutely the truth. I'm going to ask you three people that I don't even know who you are, male or female, I don't know. But this is a day for I'm going to speak right into your spirit. Is that God is about to bring the walls down in your life that will keep you from, that have kept you from inheriting the promises of God. Everyone bow your heads right now. Everybody. We need to reprise Holy Spirit. I know I'm not, that's just what the Lord needs, wants us to do. I'm going to give you a scenario right now. The Holy Spirit just brought it to my mind right now. One of you three people were literally in tears last week. And the words that came to your mind is, life is not worth living. Because you were recounting failures that you had made, decisions you've made that not only affected your life, but the life of other people. Somehow the Holy Spirit directed you to this house today. You may have been here several times before. It may be the first time. Like I say, the Holy Spirit has kept me from knowing exactly who you are. But I need to tell you right now that God has made provision for you to find deliverance, to find help, to find Him.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.